Good afternoon. I'd like to call the House Ways and Means Committee to order. Today is February 8th. It is 12:17 p.m. Today we have present with us Representative McKay. Representative McCabe is here and he just stepped out. Representative Groh is here. Representative Gray is here and I am Chair Carpenter. Senator Meyer is also with us in the audience. Thank you for joining us today. Please silence your cell phones. Lori Rowland with the House Records and Shelby Carroll with the LIO are assisting us today, and my staff, Kendra Broussard, is the committee aide. We have one item on today's agenda, and we have a short timeline with a strict cutoff at 1 p.m. We have other committee meetings that need to get going, so we'll be out of here on time. Okay, so last session, we had Director Painter with Legislative Finance present to us an updated fiscal model from the 2020 Fiscal Policy Working Group. That was a tool that they used to help shape the conversations about long-term planning. We asked Director Painter if he could update the model with this year's budget numbers and other policy proposals. And we're going to give him a brief opportunity here within this short window to describe that for us. We found that this could be a very helpful tool in what our policy decisions would be on long-term planning. So without further ado, Director Painter, if you could come to the table and put yourself on the record and begin our presentation here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Alexi Painter, I'm the Director of the Legislative Finance Division.
And let the record reflect that Representative Allard has joined us. Please continue.
So I'll walk through the basics of how this model works for those who want a refresher, and then also, especially for members of the committee, what's different versus the version we had last year. So the basic model has a few different tabs to guide it. So this is the summary tab. There's that shows basically the results of what you put in those revenue and budget tabs. At the top, we have revenue. So the numbers in here are based on the DOR fall revenue forecast. One thing I would note is the POMV number here actually comes from the November history and projections report from the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. It does not match the Fall Revenue Sources book. Fall Revenue Sources book used kind of a draft number. It got caught up in a timing issue with APFC. So we're using that November APFC document as a projection. And so the POMV numbers and statutory dividend numbers in our model slightly differ from what's in the Revenue Sources book in the governor's budget. It's not a huge difference, but if you're trying to reconcile those things, that's why they're different, is we just are using a slightly updated number. If people put in the revenue tab new revenue items, they'd show up in this line here. Below that, we have the budget. So we show the budget baseline, which in this case is the governor's December 15th budget submission, growing with inflation of 2.5%. And then if members wish to make any changes to that budget baseline, you'd see them here in the scenario changes line. Then it shows you the surplus or deficit before the PFD, and then the PFD appropriation. One thing I would note is that the per person number for FY25 includes an estimate of the energy relief payment that was funded in FY24 that will depend on the final revenue we receive. So that calculation assumes that, but that actual appropriation is not in the PFD appropriation. It's in statewide items in the budget. So you may notice that even if you put in a zero formula for the PFD appropriation in FY25, you still get a number. That's because we're showing the energy relief payment going out as part of that. And then you get the pre-transfer surplus or deficit. That's before we draw or withdraw money from savings. The number for FY25 is just over $1 billion. Those of you who are careful readers of our fiscal summary would note that our official fiscal summary shows a slightly less than $1 billion deficit. The difference is we have an assumption in fiscal modeling that there are supplementals in future years, whereas We have an actual number for supplementals in FY24. Here we have a $50 million placeholder. So that's why it differs a little bit from our fiscal summary, as well as that slightly different number for the statutory dividend. Then we show the fund transfers. The largest one in FY24 is the part of that waterfall with the energy relief of excess revenue coming in above the spring forecast going into the CBR. And then the remainder is the deficit that would come out of the savings balances. And so I'd note here we have our first difference from the model from last year. In last year's model, if there was a gap after the CBR and SBR were exhausted, we just left that as a gap. This year we've added the option to fill that deficit from the earnings reserve. So if we say that we would like to fill it with that, you can see that this goes from a bright red to kind of a darker red because there is a fund balancing that. That has the effect of reducing future POMV draws because you're drawing out of the fund. That also brings us to another new thing, which is this graph of the realized ERA balance. This was a new addition because of concern about that ERA balance. So this graph shows breaks the ERA balance into two pieces. One is the following year's POMV draw, and then and that's in orange. The blue is everything remaining. The reason we break it out that way is you can see more clearly, if you have at least the next year's POMV draw, you're not relying on investment revenue as you receive it to make that POMV draw. You have that, at least that set aside in the ERA. If you don't have that, then you are relying on investment revenue coming in and spending it as it comes in, at least to some degree. So in the basic fall forecast number here, with no overdraws, the ERA essentially draws down to, by FY33, just the amount for the next year's POMV draw. And that's showing statutory inflation proofing for all of these years. We have an assumption in our modeling that if you get down to below that amount on the orange bar, you would stop inflation proofing. That doesn't kick in the default scenario, but does kick in if you started to draw from the ERA. And that keeps the ERA a little healthier than you would think just from when you start drawing this, you'd expect, well, the ERA is going to go to zero. But if you stop inflation proofing, that would partially solve that. We also have a switch here for to turn off inflation proofing if you want to see the ERA balance without that. So again, that wasn't functionality we had last session. We added it this year to help members see the impact of those ERA draws given the kind of low balance of the ERA today.
And let that record reflect that Representative Tilton has joined the meeting. Thank you.
So if there's no questions on this page, I'll go to the revenue, budget, and appropriation tabs, and I'll answer questions if there are any as we go along. So on the revenue tab, again, we're starting with the fall revenue forecast. You can change the oil price assumption. So we start with the fall forecast. That is a price of $76. Dropping down into as low as 67, then rising a little bit. That's following the futures market. I would note that I looked at the oil prices and futures yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago. I think it was 2 days ago, and they were almost exactly following the fall forecast still. So even though it's been a month and a half, the fall forecast really is still looking like decent numbers to use. There's really been very little change in oil prices since then. You can also select any value between $20 and $150 a barrel. These are flat, so if you put in $60 a barrel, you'd see it at flat 60 across the years. The reason that we have these flat numbers and not pick a scenario is that with carry forward losses that companies might pile up, it can get tricky to go year to year in an arbitrary path. You lose some accuracy by doing that. So having just these flat paths kind of makes it a little easier to make sure that these numbers would be accurate for that scenario. So again, that's something you can vary if you'd like to see the impact of different prices on the fiscal situation. So again, we're starting with the fall forecast, but you can update those. And these are numbers, sensitivity analysis from the Department of Revenue directly. We have the option for new revenue. These are largely the same options that were included in the model last year. So for income taxes, there's a federal percentage of federal tax liability, a flat tax on adjusted gross income or progressive tax, as well as House Bill 156 that I think this committee has heard, which would be a tax on high earners. These numbers, the for all of these numbers are from the Department of Revenue's income tax model. They're the same numbers from last session. We have not seen updates to that model. I don't know if they've updated those numbers now, but it's only been, you know, 6 or 7 months since the committee last met, so I'm not sure that there would be massive changes from year to year. For the sales tax, again, these are the same options we had at the end of last session, modeled by the Department of Revenue in their sales tax model, a Wyoming-style kind of moderate base or broad, relatively broad-based tax, a narrower base than that, and then House Bill 142, which is, again, I think in the committee or the committee has heard it, which would have the broadest base option of those. We just plugged those in at 2%. The members could put them in at any rate you'd like to see and then select them here to actually turn those numbers on. We also have other tax options. I think these are mostly the same as last session. A lot of these numbers are from the 2023 session because the Department of Revenue has not provided updated numbers on all of these yet. I'm not sure if the committee plans to have the Department of Revenue come forward with updated numbers, but they have not been updated. Largely, we just pushed them back by a year. The two exceptions are the motor fuel tax, where we updated this based on current motor fuel tax collections, and then the petroleum property tax, where we updated it based on the most recent year of petroleum property tax data. The others, this is all data that the Department of Revenue had presented last year. No changes.
Can you take us through the function of using the custom row there?
Sure. So, yeah, and these numbers are the plug-in from the governor's previous 10-year plan, not the current one where he didn't have any revenue options. The year before, he'd included kind of a plug-in for revenue. We left those in as a default, but you could put any number. So if you have a tax proposal or an income revenue proposal that's not reflected here, you can just reflect those numbers by entering the numbers in the cell and then clicking on that custom to turn that on in the summary. So if members have other options they'd like us to add to the default options, we're happy to do that. If not, you can just enter them as a custom option to have them modeled here.
Thank you.
Okay, going to the budget side. So the base is the governor's 12-15 budget. His amended budget is due next week, so I expect that we'll provide updated numbers to the committee. You could also base it on the adjusted base, which is a little bit lower, and then add an increase or a decrease from there if you prefer to not start with the governor, but just start with kind of a clean policy neutral starting point. The adjusted base, as a reminder, is the previous year's budget less one-time items and then plus items like salary adjustments that are kind of a statewide decision that would just keep services at a status quo level. So no service changes, no policy changes, all those things are changes in the governor's budget. So adjusted base is sort of a clean starting point before you get to the policy initiatives in the governor's budget. Under the K-12 change, we have a few options here. We have the version of Senate Bill 140 that is current from the House Rules Committee based on the most recent fiscal notes for that, the version of Senate Bill 52 passed by the Senate, or the version passed by the Senate Education Committee, or you could add a custom number here if you'd like to see that. We separated out the K-12 because it's a large factor that you know, there's a lot of legislative interest in. So instead of having to just put that into the dollar increase, you can just select a bill if you'd like to. So there's two ways you can change the other ways you can change the agency operations. You can either enter a number. So you could say we want to add 100 million. That would then fill across. But you could also put in different numbers for the different years if you'd like. Or you can change the growth percentage. So the default is inflation, 2.5%. If you'd like to match the governor's 10-year plan, he uses 1.5%, so you could use that number. And you'd see the difference there shows up as a difference from our baseline. Surprising how much of a difference that 1.5% of inflation can make by FY33, or, you know, 1% inflation can make. By FY33, that's nearly a $400 million difference just from that one variable. So, you know, that the model is pretty sensitive when you look at the compounding effect of that rate over time. On statewide items, there's a few options you can play with. There's the school debt reimbursement. I would note here that one of our assumptions in this model is that when the current program has a moratorium that's set to expire on July 1st, 2025. After that, there can be new debt issued by districts that would become part of this program, but at a lower reimbursement rate than prior to the moratorium. We're assuming that after that happens, you begin to see some new debt issued by districts based on the, our assumption is based on the historical average of the 10 years before the moratorium, but with the new lower reimbursement percentages. So you see that number kick up over time, and that's because you see that new debt coming in after the moratorium expires. And again, you can choose to, the default option here is you can choose to prorate that debt. You know, if members want, we could build in other things like extending the moratorium or changing the reimbursement rates or any other ways to change that program if you're interested. The state assistance to retirement, that's our other big variable here. We have the current law. We also put in Senate Bill 88, the bill passed by the Senate, using the analysis by our state actuaries, Buck, that would show different costs. The fiscal note, I would note, is based on analysis by the Senate Finance Committee's actuary. It only goes out to FY30, so we can't plug it into this model. And it's based on older data, so the Buck analysis is based on the current valuation that's used in the in our current liability, so it's kind of the most up-to-date. And so that's the option we have in there. If you'd like to see, again, additional options, we're happy to put those in. I know there's several retirement bills out there. Not all of them have current fiscal notes, so we're just using the item that we have a current analysis for. But again, if members would like, happy to put in additional options on that item. On community assistance, we have the statutory payment as the default. You could also put what's in the governor's 10-year plan, which is no unrestricted general funds after FY25. So if you'd like to match his plan, that would be a policy change you could make. We have a number for the disaster relief fund. The governor has $5 million. That's sort of an arbitrary estimate, a placeholder that's been used in modeling. We tend to spend it a little bit faster than that in reality, but the legislature has often put one-time infusions of lapsing funds or other sources to keep it going. So that, again, the $5 million is kind of an arbitrary figure in there. You can change that as you want. Going down to the capital budget, the default here is the governor's December 15th budget. If you'd like to change that to a number to match last year or another number, you can enter that in the dollar change. So if you want to match last year, you'd add $55 million. You could also change the growth rate. The default here is inflation, but if you want to, again, match the governor, he has a 1.5% rate. You could just put that in there if you prefer to see that, or a higher rate. And again, it'll compound based on that rate. Finally, there's the permanent fund dividend. So the default is the statutory calculation. Again, note that that number is slightly different than what's in the governor's budget because this is based on a different projection. And you can change this by entering the number. So if you wanted to change this to the 50% of market value, you'd zero that out, put the 50% under the POMV draw, and you get these numbers. And again, just note that you see an energy relief amount here in FY25, even if there's a zero. So, you know, just something to note as you're looking at those numbers. And then finally, fund transfers. We don't have any options for changing those. If people have particular savings or other goals, we can build in options. Okay. Any questions about budget or before we move on to the appropriation limit?
Appropriations limit, please.
All right. So this chart shows the appropriation limit. So the bars here are the appropriation subject to limit in the scenario that's being modeled here. And then the lines are the appropriation limits in the scenario. So we do have a statutory limit currently. I'm not modeling it because it's based on previous years' spending. And essentially, unless you put a really high growth rate, you're not going to see that really impacting here. So it's not particularly relevant to this sort of modeling, but we'll see the statutory limit if you look at some of the other options. So the default here is the current constitutional limit with the way that the Division of Finance calculates it. In this committee last session, my colleague Rob Carpenter presented that there's other ways you could calculate it. There's another way that you could calculate the constitutional limit that's closer to, that's how Anchorage calculates its tax cap, that's written similarly. That would have a lower number, again, still significantly higher than current appropriations. And then we have two other options. There's the House Judiciary or original sponsor version of HJR 2 and House Bill 38. And then the House Ways and Means Committee amended version of that same proposal. The bill also got amended in House Finance, but there was never a full committee substitute with those incorporated, so we don't have that built in as an option. If you'd like us to look through those amendments and try to construct that, I'm happy to do that as well. Or if there's other proposals, again, happy to model those. We just have the ones that have been, you know, through this committee so far. So the House Judiciary version, you can see that we're below the constitutional, but higher than the statutory based on our default assumptions. If you go to the Ways and Means Committee version, those both go down, again, still under the constitutional, but above the statutory limit under the Ways and Means CS for that bill. Okay, so I think I've gone through all the tabs. You can see that most of it is the same as last session, just a few differences, but hopefully it should be usable for members, and happy to help people work it if they need that as well, or answer any other questions.
Okay, committee members, do you have a question for Director Painter at this time? Representative Groh?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Painter, I've reviewed the governor's own forecast. You talked a little bit about it, but just to summarize, because of some different assumptions, is it accurate to say that your cumulative gap that for produced by the Legislative Finance Division is about $1 billion, roughly higher than the governor's or than the administration's?
Through the chair, Representative Groh, yes. So if you put in the assumptions in the 10-year plan, the 1.5% growth, not funding community assistance with general funds, no supplementals, you would get to match that that number in the 10-year plan.
Follow up,
Representative Groh.
So thank you. Director Painter, so under the two major projections, I'm not aware of any others, for a 10-year or similar period of the state of Alaska's finances. We either have a cumulative gap of over $10 billion or one over $11 billion. And as your numbers show, it gets larger over time, generally. I mean, there's 1 year where a little off. Is that basically accurate?
Through the chair, Representative Groh, yes, under our default assumptions, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Okay. Well, I appreciate that. I think as the policy discussions happen within the legislature here this session, there may be some additions to that are necessary to kind of model out the long-term impact to our budget, possibly. Not enough time today to really get into a heavy discussion on particular options that we have right now. Want to just present this to the rest of the committee, the rest of the legislature, and the public, that we have a tool before us that helps us see the implications of the policy choices before us. And I think it's a fairly good tool. For the public and for other members of the legislature, if you want to see these modeled, or your options, or the thoughts that you have, policy options that you have, then let's have that conversation and just contact me and we can work with this. The spreadsheet is located where for members? We've got control of that, I think, or access to it. So if other members want to have a copy of it to do their thing, then we can provide that. Okay. If there's no other questions, I would like to thank Director Painter for taking time at the lunch hour here to come have a conversation with us and update us. Thanks to the rest of the staff for having this meeting today. And thanks, Senator Myers, for joining us today. There's no other business to come before us. We'll be adjourned at 12:41 p.m.